All right, take our Bibles and turn to Mark chapter number 16. Mark chapter number 16. I'm excited tonight. I get to preach about soul winning again. A couple weeks ago, I had the opportunity to hopefully stir us up, to challenge me to be about my Father's business. And now, we'd like to hopefully just encourage you. This passage is very encouraging to me. The message is encouraging to me. If you want a title, I thought of the college students for this title. Evangelism 101. All right? Evangelism 101. If you don't like that and you say, I'm not a college student, you say, okay, God's plan for evangelizing the world. Or whatever you want to call it. But I'm excited about it. Mark chapter number 16. Hopefully you're there now. Let's begin. Verse number 9. It says, now when Jesus was risen early the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven devils. And she went and told them that had been with him, as they mourned and wept. And they, when they had heard that he was alive and had been seen of her, believed not. After that, he appeared in another form unto two of them, as they walked and went into the country. And they went and told it unto the residue, neither believed they them. Afterward, he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. Verse 15. And as he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be damned, that means condemned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils, they shall speak with new tongues. Tongues means languages. And verse 18, they shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So, then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God, and they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. And I like how it ends. Amen. Well, let's pray. Father, we ask that you will take your word and bless the message. Lord, I ask that you'll encourage us. Challenge us, Lord. Help us to have some faith that you want to work and you want to work through us. And I pray that because of this, there'll be more tracts given out, more invitations passed out, more doors knocked on, more of us trying to engage others with the plan of salvation and talk to them about their souls. We just ask, again, that you would do something in our hearts and use it for your honor and glory, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, if you look back there with me in verse number 10, talk about Mary Magdalene. It says, and she went and told them, that was the disciples that had been with him, as they mourned and wept. See, the disciples were sitting around feeling sorry for themselves because of their problems. So the problem was that the Lord had died and they hadn't believed that he was going to raise again. They didn't, and even when they heard, they didn't believe it. And so anytime we have unbelief and we just sit around and start feeling sorry for ourselves, we're going to have problems. And so here they are mourning and weeping, but notice what the solution to all this was. Look in verse 15. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. You know, we can all sit around and make a lot of excuses why we're not busy serving the Lord, why we're not telling people about God, not why we're not passing out tracts. And we all have problems. We all have problems. And if when we let our problems get us down and discouraged, then we're not much good for the Lord, are we? And then we're not going to be helping others because all we want is someone to help us. And so his work doesn't go forward. So really the solution when we're having a tough time is just to get busy and think about other people. And get busy and think about what the Lord wants us to do. And things will go better. I mean, you might have a crummy day, but then you give a tract out and someone takes it and you get an opportunity to witness to someone a little bit, you're having a better day automatically. I'm not kidding. You're going to have a much better day. You can go and feel sorry for yourselves. I remember being in the, going up to the University of Chicago one time, the hospital there, and getting in the elevator and going to a doctor's appointment. And I could sit there and say, well, woe is me. I got to go to the doctor's again. I got to, you know, they're not going to find anything anyway. And they're just going to charge me more money. And blah, 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 blah. I remember I had the Amazing Grace tract, and I pulled it out and I gave it to someone in the elevator, and you know, this doesn't happen very often in America. Someone else in the elevator said, hey, can I have one of those? It's like, whoa, you're asking for a gospel tract? Hey, you know what? My day was going pretty good. It was going pretty well. And not just that, it's not about me being happy, it's about someone got to get the gospel. And so we just got to remember that. So God has given us a simple plan for evangelizing the world here in this passage. We've read it. We're going to go and look back at it. It's not only simple, but it's very exciting. I've only got 2 points, but don't worry. Both of them have some sub-points. But the points are pretty simple. Man's part. Second point, God's part. All right. That's why it's Evangelism 101. All right. We keep it simple, especially for the freshmen, right? Man's part. What is man's part? Well, look here in verse number 15. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. You know what man's part is? Obedience. That's man's part. I am not and you are not responsible for how people react. All we have to do is go out and give out the gospel. Look for ways to engage people in the conversation. It's good to give out tracts. It's even better if we can give out a tract. And we got to stack up here, right here. It's even better if we can give out a track and say, hey, this one that says, what's the Bible? Hey, you know, maybe, you know, this should tell you a little bit of what the Bible's all about. And it might pique their interest a little bit. If you got the Amazing Grace track or whatever track, you just kind of, you give it to them and say a little something to get them engaged. And sometimes you'll start seeing if someone's interested. And you'll start seeing if you get an open door to go further with it. And if you had time to do that. And so we want to be able to obey the Lord. So man's part is obedience. So the first part of man's part is simply go. Just go. You know, people are not going to get saved if we don't go. We can sit around and pray. We can have our cottage prayer meetings. And then you know what happens with the cottage prayer meetings? It makes me say, oh, we're praying. I better make sure I'm going a little bit more. See, when we're praying extra, we should be going a little extra. We might say, well, let me not knock off now. Let me go a little bit further down this street. Let's see if we can get this whole thing done both sides. It's longer, but let's see if we can stay out a little bit long. Whatever it is, when we're praying, we're just going, and we gotta make sure we understand we're supposed to go. It says there, verse, go ye into all the world. Now, you understand the ye's and the thee's, right? Thee is you, singular. Ye is you, plural. So, Jesus was saying, go ye. That means you, plural. Go all of you. All of us are supposed to go into all the world and preach the gospel. It's not just for the preachers. It's not just for those in full-time Christian service. You know, whether you're a teenager or a young adult, you say, well, I'm not called to the ministry. Well, let me tell you something. You're still called to give the gospel out to people. So Jesus told the people to go and witness for him. Soul winning is every Christian's responsibility. You say, well, I am not in Harvesters. I work in the nursing home. And what are you doing in the nursing home? Well, I do this or I do that. Try to witness to somebody. Not just go to the nursing home. Well, that's my ministry. Well, what's the ministry? Telling people about the Lord. And you can go find a street and go knock on some doors with someone else too. It's okay to do a little extra sometimes. And so the alternative to soul winning is disobedience. So man's part is obedience. So think of how many more people would be saved if we all did our part. I think it's neat. You know, the little challenge, you say, it's just a little challenge that we got 5 invitations and 5 tracts. And if everybody gave out 5 invitations and 5 tracts, we'd be getting out a lot. But you know, there's many. It's like, some of us, you know, you're not even counting because Five, you've left five way back. Why? Because you just want to get out there and get the gospel out. You want to think of ways to help people. And if we all did our part, our area would be covered. We'd be wondering, well, we'll have to go further out or something because we'd have all the streets done. You know, maybe we'd send some more missionaries. Oh, I don't know about that. You know, let's not go overboard. He did say go into all the world. You know, Chesterton, Portage, you know, that's part of the world. But, you know, we could go a little further if we wanted to. We could go start a few more churches in other areas, surrounding areas. Saturday, soul winning, harvesters, bus visitation, whatever it is. That's an opportunity for us to go. But we should be ready to witness anytime. And I like what Paul said in 2 Timothy 4:2. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season. That means there's a season to go. That's the time your ministry meets. That's the season. And in out of season, that's when you're not scheduled to do it, but you're just out there and you're doing it. I remember I was getting my car fixed one time, and I gave a guy an invitation to track, and I invited him out to come to the... We're having a special Christmas service. I invite him out. And I'm just getting my car worked on. He wasn't the mechanic. He was just there too. We got to talk to him a little bit. He ended up coming to church. And then that was out of season. And then some of our soul winners went and followed him up. And it took a couple of weeks to follow him up. And he finally understood salvation. And he got saved. Why? Because one was doing it in season. And we had some other people... One was going out of season and some other people going in season and working together. The guy got saved. We all got to be just doing what we can in season, out of season, when it's convenient, when it's not convenient. It's more than just showing up to our ministry. We got to learn to look for opportunities to and witness. And when we all do our part, people get saved. So the first part of man's part is obedience, is go, go. Not only go, but look also with me, go everywhere. Go everywhere. It says there in the verse, go ye into all the world. That means we need to go into the poor neighborhoods. So I'm like, oh, I don't want to go in the poor neighborhoods. That means we need to go in the rich neighborhoods. Sometimes it's a lot easier for some to go to the poor neighborhoods than it is to go to the rich neighborhoods. But the rich people, the poor people, all people, middle class, every person needs to be saved. We need to go wherever. We need to go to the towns. We need to go to send people to other towns to start churches. We need to evangelize our country. We need to send missionaries overseas to other nations. And can we honestly say that we as a church have evangelized everywhere? So will we have some missionaries? Do we have missionaries in every country in the world? No. Have we reached all the areas around here? No. So what are we going to do about it? So he said, go. Then he said, go everywhere. Not only that, the next part is go everywhere and do something. Go everywhere and preach. That's what he said. So go everywhere, and then go everywhere and preach. The word preach means to proclaim. So that means it's not just what pastors do. So it's not just, you know, the guys that get up behind the pulpit. It's not just their responsibility to preach the gospel. No, that word preach there is talking about proclaim. Every one of us needs to go. And every one of us can go. Every one of us can proclaim the gospel. The gospel is good news. We've got good news. I mean, the people you work with are miserable. Right? You know, all the people I work with are. You're working with lost people. They're coming in bellyaching, griping about this and talking about all the problems and talking about, you know, oh, man, it's a mess. And you can just start saying, yeah, Lord, bless me this week. It's good. Let me just say, we're supposed to go everywhere and preach. Now, I'm not getting away from, you know, inviting people out and giving out invitations. Giving out invitations is good, is proper. We need to do it because people come out. And as you heard this evening in the announcements, people walk the aisle, people get saved. If we can get someone out, that's incredible because they're going to get to hear a message, undivided attention 30, 40 minutes or so of preaching the gospel, and they're going to be a captive audience. That's really good. It's not going to be a lot of distractions. So it's a wonderful thing to do that. But that's not what we're commanded in this verse to do. We're supposed to go into all the world and preach the gospel. And why I'm saying we have to sometimes move past, think with me, if all we ever did to reach, say, let's say our neighbors, if all we ever did to reach our neighbors is once a year when the anniversary Sunday comes up, we go and give them an invitation. And every year they don't come. And then, so the next year you go and that's the only time you go and give them an invitation. They don't come. You know, they're probably, you know, after 6 or 7 years, they probably figure out they're probably still not going to come. You know what maybe we could do? Maybe try and witness to them. Maybe give our testimony. Maybe actually share the word of God and see what God will do. So I'm not saying don't invite. We got to invite because it works. But that's not all we do. We got to not just hide behind a tract or not just hide behind an invitation, but we ought to be looking for that opportunity to go a little further, to sow the seed, to give the gospel, to set the hook if you're a fisherman, right? And reel it in. That's what we want to do. Discussing religion, passing out tracts, all that stuff has a place, but it can't take the place of preaching the gospel. So we need to look for those opportunities. And we should look for those opportunities to give our testimony. I like what Jesus said there in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. He said, you shall receive power after that. The Holy Ghost is to come upon you. And ye shall be what? Witnesses. You know what a witness is? It's just telling somebody something that you've seen. Part of soul winning is not just giving out the plan of salvation. Hey, you know, number one, you got to know you're a sinner. You're a sinner, right? Oh, yeah. Number two, you know, listen, again, it has to go a little bit further than that. You can actually, I know this is tough, you can actually weave your testimony into it. Say, you know what, man, I was kind of like you. I grew up, I didn't go to church very much, or I went to this denomination or whatever, and you know, hey, you know, I didn't know for sure where I was going to go when I died, and someone came and showed the Bible to me, and can I tell you what they showed me? Like, look at this verse here. I didn't know that. And this is what helped me. And then I thought I could get saved by, you know, baptism. Or I thought I could get saved by whatever you thought you could get saved by. And then you could show them a verse that was otherwise. And you're weaving your testimony in and you're giving the gospel. Man, it actually works. And it's more natural. And people actually like it when you're personable with them. Amen? And so we ought to be looking for opportunities to do what we're told, to witness, to proclaim the good news. It is good news. That's man's part. Go. Then go everywhere. And then go everywhere and preach. Now, number two, we see God's part. God's part, man's part was obedience. God's part is we're going to see him demonstrate his power. Look down there with me in verse number 20. And they went forth and preached everywhere. They did what they were told to do. The Lord working with them, confirming the word with signs following. And then the great amen there. You see, when we obey the Lord in the area of soul winning, it allows us to see some wonderful things happen in our lives. Those who fail to go out witnessing, those who fail to try to talk to people about the Lord and the daily life, they're going to miss out on so many neat things. So let me give you a few things as we talk about God's part and him showing his power. First of all, we see that the Lord works. Find that there in verse number 20. It says, the Lord working. The Lord works. It's amazing to see how God, the Holy Spirit, begins to work on people's hearts and minds while you're out witnessing. You know it's not you. And you see conviction, you see, you know, people, like the light bulb comes on, you see all sorts of things that go on. You see people harden their hearts. There's all sorts of things. I remember one time we were out, back when the Pacific Garden Mission was on State Street, and we were out doing some, passing out some tracts and soul winning on the streets before the service started one evening. And I came across a guy and I gave him a tract and he says, well, you know, I'm an atheist. I'm like, okay, well, I knew one thing. Well, if someone's an atheist, they need the Word of God. Why? Because they don't have any faith. And the Bible says faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. So I was just dumb enough to start saying, let's look at a couple of things here. And I just started giving the Bible verses about things. I mean, I'll tell you, I'll never forget this. There was someone else on the other side of the street. They saw, you know, that I was out witnessing and I had my Bible and I'm passing out tracts. And this was the most foul-mouthed tirade that went on, directed right at me. And I'm thinking, oh my, the devil is real. And he was in Chicago that night, I think, too. But, you know, I spent quite a while going through scriptures. And I'll tell you, the guy didn't get saved, but I'll tell you one thing. When he left, he said, you know what? I think you convinced me. He says, there is a God. So, did he get saved? I don't think he got saved right there and then, but I know one thing, that we sowed the seed. And here's a guy, he said, I'm an atheist, I don't even believe. And then some time in the scriptures started begin to change his heart and to begin to change his mind. Let me say, not everyone's going to get saved every time you witness. Not everybody's going to jump up and down and rejoice and that you're there. It was funny, last Saturday, my wife and I were out knocking on doors, and we had just finished up at one house, and as we're at this one door, the neighbor pulled up in his car and got out of his car, went up his driveway, got in his house, and we came around, and we came up the driveway, and we just started up the driveway, and he was waiting for us. I mean, that door flew open, and he was so animated. He's pointing at the sign. He's got a no soliciting sign right there. He's like, I mean, he's like this. Sometimes stuff like that, you know, bothers me. I feel all of it. That was funny. That was funny. And, I feel bad for him. I mean, here he is, you know, anyway. Not everyone's gonna, be receptive. Not everyone's gonna get saved. But you're going to see the Lord work. The Lord was working on that guy. Mr. Sign-Pointing Man. He didn't want to hear anything about God. Obviously, God was working. I'm not in control of how they react, and neither are you. Remember another time my wife and I, we made a point on a furlough. Her aunt, Catherine, was a Catholic nun for 60 years. And we went to where she was there at the in a place that they stayed and took her out to eat and sat down and witnessed to her afterwards and went through the plan of salvation and showing how she could know. She said she didn't know for sure where she was going to go when she died. Went through the whole plan of salvation with her and showed it was just through Christ and Christ only that she could know. And she started to tear up. You could see she understood, she knew that what she had believed all those years was a lie. And then she choked down that conviction, dried up that tear, and said, I might not know, but hoping's good enough. That was hard. We left brokenhearted. We tried to, you know, write letters and send different things to her over the years after that, but as far as we know, she never got saved. She had heard. We saw the Lord working. We don't know if maybe sometime and afterwards she did so. We know he was working and we know we've been praying for years. She was on our church's prayer list for years too. We don't know what happened. We know God was doing his part. He was working. But we had to do our part. We had to go out and give her the gospel and pray for her and witness to her and follow up the best we could. Did she ever get saved? I don't know. But I know we did our part. And I know God did his part. There's been times I know I didn't do my part. I don't have a lot of peace about that. And neither do you. When you know there was someone you could have or should have witnessed to. We don't control what's going to happen, but we know God's going to work. There was another time, this was it was late 1980s. I wasn't in Bible college or anything at that time. I was just a young guy in early 20s. And my grandfather had been sick. He was in the hospital. He had bad emphysema, and he was in there. His roommate was also a very old gentleman. He also had some lung problems and breathing problems. The guy next to him was 95 years old. I'll never forget his name. Steve Nevendomsky. You say, why did you never forget his name? Because I got to witness to Steve Nevendomsky. Now, he was struggling so hard with his breathing, he couldn't even really talk, but he was with it. And I went through the plan of salvation with him and asked him if he wanted to pray, and I got the head nod, and I led in a prayer. And you know, he couldn't verbalize anything, and I said at the end, I said, so did you pray that prayer? And gave me the head nod. Steve Nevendomsky, 95 years old. He grew up, you know, not believing the gospel for 95 years. And to see the Lord work on his heart to make a decision before it was too late. Listen, if you're working in the nursing home ministry, you've got one last shot at some of these folks. What an opportunity. What a privilege. But to see God work, it's exciting. It's exciting. Well, I could give you other stories, but I gotta move on here. So, what's God's part? The Lord works. Secondly, the Lord works with us. Not just that the Lord works, but he works with us. Look there again with me in verse 20. It says, and they went forth and preached everywhere. What did they do? They did their part. They obeyed. And then it says, the Lord working with them. Who's the them? That's referring to the disciples. And those are the people who are going everywhere preaching. And it's encouraging to know that God promises to work through us. Sometimes we don't feel very confident, do we? Sometimes we don't know what we're going to say. Sometimes we don't know how to say it. But all we have to do is obey and trust the Lord. I may have used this illustration before. I remember my neighbor, she was dying. She was in the hospital. And on the way to the hospital, I'm driving there. And she was a very Catholic, religious lady. And I just saying, Lord, I don't know what to say. I don't know how to start. I don't know any of this. I just know you want me to go. And I got there. God gave me what to say. And she got saved. Well, she wouldn't have got saved if I hadn't have gone. I could have sat back at home and waited and said, well, I don't know exactly what to say yet. So when I figure it out, then I'll go. I just went praying the whole way. I had an hour drive to get there. Lord, help me. Help me. Help me know what to say. He said, what'd you say? I just kind of gave her my testimony. I said, you know, for a lot of years, I didn't know for sure where I was going when I died. Someone showed me how I could go to heaven. I said, can I share that with you? She said, yes. Amen. And we got to share it. And she said, at the end, she prayed and received Christ, and she said, you know, I didn't know what I was going to do with all of those sins. A couple days later, she went into a coma and never came out. A couple days after that, she went into eternity. I could have sat back and waited till I had the right thing to say. I didn't know. And sometimes you're not going to know. And it's not all going to be a perfect situation. And sometimes, you ever get that way? Sometimes you've witnessed and you don't even know. Like, did I say the right thing? Did I do it the right way? Just go and do your part and trust God to do his part. And he wants to do his part. But he's not going to be able to do his part if we're not available to do our part. Because it's the Lord working with them. The Lord working through us. And he wants to use us. And our fears and our inabilities are meaningless once God begins to work. We are fearful sometimes. I don't know what to say. I remember another time I was pastoring there in Nebraska, and went to visit this guy, and he said, well, come on in. And he knew I was there to witness, and he said, you know, I've broken all the Ten Commandments. And I'm thinking, I'm going into your house? I'm thinking, all of the Ten. I know what, you know, all of the Ten Commandments. And say, okay, sure, but where do you begin? And he got saved. Why? Because the Lord works through us. God will direct us to the right passages of Scripture to use. All we got to do is be available. And you can actually see God working through you. And that's a miraculous thing. And anybody can do that. And God wants to work through all of us. You see, I'm afraid. I get afraid too. Well, I don't know what to say. Sometimes I don't know what to say either. But we just obey. And we just go do what we know God wants us to do. And we step back. We see God work. It's exciting when someone that you met came to church. It's exciting when someone you met that came to church walks the aisle. God wants to work through all of us, any of us. And God can. Listen, children, it's not just for adults. It's not just for adults. When my son John was 7 years old, we were having a special visitor, you know, push to bring visitors out during the month of April 2005. I think it was somewhere. I don't know if it was April, March, somewhere. It's one of those months. One of those months we were having a special thing. And John would always go soul winning with me. A lot of times, you know, we just walk up and down the streets and the dirt roads, wherever it was, footpaths. Sometimes we'd be on our way to a person's house to go visit, but we're going to be meeting a bunch of people on the way. A lot of people just walk everywhere, so you just go with a stack of tracks, go with a stack of invitations and all that. And we got there on Sunday, and after church, John came up and said, "Dad, did you see that guy with a blue shirt?" And he described him and said, "Yeah." He said, "I invited him out yesterday when we were out witnessing." I was like, "Amen." I said, "You know what, John? That guy with the blue shirt, he's right over there getting counsel for salvation right now." How do you beat that? Anybody can be used. 7-year-old kid can get excited about giving out a tract or giving out an invitation and saying, "Hey, will you come to church and be my visitor?" And then when the guy comes, gets all excited. The Lord working through us, all of us. Again, the last time I preached 3 weeks ago on soul winning, I mentioned Mrs. Durlich, the oldest member of our church, gave out a tract. Next time she was back at that restaurant, the lady came up and said, "I got saved." Anybody, young, old, whoever we are, we can all be used of God, and God wants to work through us, but we've got to do our part and go and obey. And when we do, then we see the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. It's exciting. So, first of all, the Lord works. Secondly, the Lord works with us. Then thirdly, the Lord confirms. We see this here. We already mentioned confirming the word. Confirming the word. The word confirm means to establish. It's not if how eloquent we are. It's not how exciting we are. It's just we give the word. It's okay, and it's good to use illustrations to help people understand, but it's not my clever illustrations. I know there's been people over the years that they try to, when you're trying to win a soul, you got to use salesmanship tactics and just kind of pressure them and trick them into, you don't trick them into doing anything. They're not getting saved. We just present the word. And God establishes the word. And when that word is established, he's the one that convicts. He's the one that convinces. Not me, not you. It's the word of God that goes out. And that takes the pressure off of us. That's the Lord doing his job. I don't have to do it. I don't have to do any of that. All I have to do is give it, and give it with the right attitude. Give it with a heart that's sincere, a heart that's concerned, a heart that's broken. And then God can work. And all we have to do is obey and tell others. And God speaks to hearts. I can't speak to hearts. I can't. And neither can you. And we don't have to. I know sometimes we want them to be saved. And we want to help them make a decision. But we can't make them make a decision. So the Lord works. The Lord works with us. The Lord confirms. And then the Lord performs miracles. Look back at verses 17 and 18. Just about done here. It says, "And these signs shall follow them that believe." Now these are signs. These are miracles. He said, "In my name shall they cast out devils." So did they do that in the book of Acts? Yeah. So that happened. "And they shall speak with new tongues," new languages. And there was a time when God used that. And you can read about that in 1 Corinthians. And he said there was going to be a time when it would stop, and it did. But what happened here? It was a miracle. They were able to preach the gospel in a language that they had never learned before. God was working with them. Doing a miracle. "They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them." I mean, I remember a year or two ago, I saw in the news some guy, you know, some snake handling guy at some church somewhere, I think in the South, was picking up a snake, one of those poisonous snake, and it got him, and he died. And it was like, what is your point?
Well, that verse says you can pick up serpents and, you know, you can drink deadly things and you'll be all right. It's not going to hurt you.
That's not what he's talking about. He said, well, did that ever happen? Yeah. Paul was out preaching. He got arrested. He got thrown in jail. They threw him on a boat. The boat had a shipwreck. He's on an island picking up sticks and trying to get some fire. And he dumps some of the wood on the fire. And then a snake comes out, bites him, hangs on his arm. And everyone's standing around watching him. Hey, this guy's going to die. And he didn't die. Why? Because the Lord was working with them. And he was proving himself. And he was showing signs and wonders. Paul wasn't going around handling snakes saying, "Oh, see, look what I can do. I got spiritual power. Oh, you're a fruitcake. Sorry." So the Lord... You say, well, this is, and it says, and they shall lay hands on the sick and shall recover. Did that happen? Yes. All of those things happen, what? As signs to the unbelieving Jews that, hey, this message that they're preaching is true, and I'm going to back, God saying, I'm going to back it up with the proof, not just is the message true, but I'm going to show some power so you can believe that that message was true, that this all came from God. Now, all those signs might not be still something that happens today, but God still does do wonders. And he still does do miracles. Every time a soul is saved, that's a miracle. Mary Magdalene, you go back with me in verse number 9. "Now when Jesus was risen early the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast..." Now, a person with one demon would be bad enough. I don't want to meet a person with one demon. But this one, she had seven devils. Seven demons. What happened? She became a godly woman who followed Jesus. How about the Philippian jailer? He was suicidal. He got saved. And then he becomes fearless. He says, okay, you can come out of prison. Come to my house. Maniac of Gadara, wild, violent, uncontrollable, running around naked, demon-possessed, meets Jesus, peaceful, clothed, sitting in his right mind. Onesimus, he was a runaway slave, irresponsible, he was a thief, got saved. He became profitable, and then Paul called him a brother beloved. There's people right here in this, a lot of us, if you're saved, all of us, have had changed lives. Some more dramatic than others. There's some in here who were drunks, some in here who were adulterers, fornicators, thieves, gossips, you name it, gamblers. But God changed you. You know, it's a miracle when our kids get saved. It's a miracle when we see our children change. Let me just encourage you. Do your part and obey. Go everywhere and preach. And God will do His part. He will. The Lord will work. He'll work with us. He'll confirm and He'll do some miracles. Isn't that exciting? He promises to work. So one day, a soul winner from our church, not this church, from churches I had led, went out and passed out a tract. A young lady took it, came to church. Later, her family came and they got saved. Her brother, James, went out soul winning and invited a man by the name of John. John got saved. And John invited several of his family members who came and they got saved. John and I went and visited a friend of his named Collins who got saved, and he invited his brother George. George came to church, and George, at a Sunday morning after service, he went home and got saved in his own home. And then he began to express an interest in telling people about the Lord. A lot of people got saved. And do you know where it started? One unnamed person passed out a tract, and someone came to church from it. And a whole bunch of people, families, a couple different families, got saved as a result. What happened? Someone did their part, and God did His. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes.